You're listening to SBS News.
As Australia begins to move past the coronavirus, the emerging battleground is the economy. Much of the economic recovery depends on when the various states and territories lift their varying COVID-19 restrictions and border closures. In recent days, Queensland has come under pressure to open its borders, not only from the neighbouring state of New South Wales, but also from the federal government. It comes after the admission that Queensland's border could be closed until as late as September. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton has told the Nine Network, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk is creating problems.
I just don't understand where she's coming from. There was a document produced, a document that said July 10 was the opening date. So tourism operators in Cairns, for example, are planning to open from July 10, and then out of nowhere comes this September date. And I think it caught the Chief Medical Officer in Queensland by surprise as well. And I just think she has painted herself into a corner and with no logic to the position.
As Australians wait for the reopenings, the question is being raised as to how different the economy could be at the end of COVID-19, not only as a whole, but within the various states and territories. The ANZ Bank regularly produces analysis that compares the economic performance of Australian states and territories. One of the authors of the latest instalment of that research, which begins to cover the period during which the coronavirus has affected the Australian economy, is Sherelle Murphy. She says the trade channels of the Australian economy, not surprisingly, were the first to bear the brunt. Ms. Murphy says coming out of the crisis, there's an economic advantage for states that do ease their lockdowns. One potential example is Western Australia, where many fly-in, fly-out workers service the mining industry.
If we see that sector start to offer more jobs and then fly-in, fly-out workers able to move around from in and out of Western Australia more, you know, more easily, then absolutely, I do think we will see some movement there.
She says the flip side of this situation has already been observed in the Northern Territory.
It's been interesting with the Northern Territory, which is a good example of an economy which has a population that's really transient. You know, essentially people go to enough Northern Territory because there's jobs there, and then when they're not jobs there, they tend to filter out, unless, of course, they've got a reason other than work to be there. So because people haven't been able to move around as much, I think we've seen a little bit of evidence of that in the Northern Territory, with unemployment or underemployment rising quite a lot.
But although the all-important mining and resources sector has been largely untouched so far by the crisis, that may not remain the case. The other rising factor is Australia's disagreement with China over an investigation into the origins of COVID-19. China has already announced moves that would hurt Australian barley and beef producers, and James Whelan, investment manager for the VFS Group, says that reach could even extend as far as the mining sector, which would put Australians in a difficult position.
This is China's way of just saying, hey, if you want to talk about muscle flexing, we've got some pretty big muscles to flex too. Just because we import 62% of iron ore from Australia doesn't mean it has to stay that way. Brazil is right there, and this is China's way of saying that we can just switch a rule and change a thing and tweak a thing and make it a little bit more difficult for Australia to do business with China.
Ms. Murphy says it's important to consider what problems the Australian economy had before the virus struck. She says household debt is foremost amongst those problems, especially in New South Wales and Victoria, which have been riding a wave of high real estate prices. But she says whilst that regionalises the problem somewhat, it's an issue that, in fact, exists throughout the country.
Certainly the problems that we had going into this don't go away, and in fact, if anything, they get worse. And I guess probably one of the main ones there is household debt, actually, which is not really unique to any particular state or territory. You might see a bit more, household debt in that the states Victoria and New South Wales, which have had very, very strong price growth. But that is not, so much a state-by-state story, I think. I think that's very much a national one.
Overall, Ms. Murphy paints a picture of an economy in decent shape, but she says both nationally and regionally, Australia has a lot of economic problems to solve coming after the coronavirus crisis ends.
It would be too much to suggest that this is just showing how showing that we're a weak economy. I don't think that's right. I think, you know, we have definitely many more strengths than weaknesses, but, you know, we're going to see sort of scarring of the economy, which is not going to go away in a while. And so we do have some serious economic issues to deal with going forward. You know, how do we get people back into jobs? How do we get small business that were just annihilated by this back into some sort of position of being able to employ again. You know, how do we manage, you know, the various sort of structural impacts, the fact that there are parts of the accommodation and sector that are just annihilated, the fact that universities can't have international students at the moment. You know, there are just this endless examples of where we have some big problems to solve.
And you can keep up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Sunila Wasti, SBS News.